and taking it down. Raise your voices and stir up this town. We're the champions of craft beer sport. Tolkien Audio, we hold down the fort. Episode 1304 of the Tall Can Audio Podcast. Thanks for checking it out and joining me here today. Matt Robinson along with you. As always, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast wherever you're hearing us right now, and follow along on social media at Tall Can Audio. We'd love to hear what you guys think, as it's been a couple of days now since the Leafs dropped Game 4 to the Boston Bruins on Saturday night. Fairly disheartening effort if you're a Leaf fan. I guess it would be the opposite of that if you're not a Leaf fan. But Sean McIndoe, The Athletic, you may know him as Down Goes Brown, had an interesting theory as to why this keeps happening to the Leafs. And perhaps it's no more complicated than just they're just not very good, which would certainly explain a lot. He's going to take us today inside all of that and what brought him to this seemingly fairly simple conclusion. But it's been several years now. It's been a while where the Leafs have been thought of as part of the upper echelon of the NHL, and that has just never bared fruit in the playoffs. And so at some point, you got to take a step back and figure out what it is that's causing that. And maybe the simplest explanation is just that, yeah, they're just not good enough. So he'll take us through that in just a moment. I hope you'll stick around later on this week. It's going to be fun. Stepping in for Lee Versage this week is Steve Lloyd from TSN 1200. He'll be here for the Thursday morning show. We'll have plenty to catch up with him. He's got a lot to say on the craft beer thing, so that'll be fun to catch up with him and see if he's tried anything good lately. But plenty going on in the sports world. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but there are other playoff series going on outside of the Leafs. Caught me completely off guard. Hopefully, Lloyd, he's got a handle on what's happening around there. He's a big baseball guy as well, so we'll get into plenty of things there with Lloydie later on this week. So like I said, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you can catch that one. With that, let's bring him in from The Athletic, Sean McIndoe. You may know him as Down Goes Brown. What's happening, man?
Hey, not too much.
Appreciate you doing this. It's been, I don't know, an emotional weekend maybe for us Leaf fans, and maybe less so for you. It seemed maybe on Saturday night like you'd found some zen and come to maybe an acceptance that maybe this team just isn't all that good. Would my characterization of that be fair?
I think so, yeah. And not to say that they're not a good team. They clearly are that in the regular season at the very least. But I guess, and this is something I've been kicking around for a little while now, going back to previous playoff years. At a certain point, is this team as good as we think they are? By which I mean, is it as stunning as we seem to think it is that they keep losing in the playoffs? Because that's the narrative, right? Is that these guys, this is a great team that can't get it done in the playoffs. And what's wrong with them? Why can't they get over the hump? Are they chokers? Are they underachievers, et cetera, et cetera? And that narrative doesn't really work if you're not the favorite, if not the heavy favorite in a series. I mean, you can't, an underdog can't really choke. Mm-hmm. So looking at it, I've sort of been thinking this for a while. Let's go back and look at every year of this core, as far as all of these playoff losses that have piled up. First year they play against Washington, they're the wild card team. Nobody thinks they have a chance. That's fine. Big underdogs. They lose that series. They lose to the Boston Bruins 2 years in a row. Both years they lose a game seven in Boston because Boston has home ice, because Boston is, at least by the regular season standings, a better team. 2020, they lose to Columbus in the qualifying round. A lot of people look at that and go, how do you lose to the Columbus Blue Jackets? Well, that Leafs team and that Columbus team were tied in the standings when the season paused. A lot of people forget that. And remember, that was the Leafs team. Mike Babcock had been fired after the slow start. They had lost to the Zamboni driver.
Kyle has decided not making any moves at the deadline. This group hasn't earned it.
Exactly. So, that certainly wasn't some great Leafs team. Now, maybe it wasn't a great Blue Jackets team either. And on paper, okay, you could say the Leafs still should have beat them. But I mean, again, not some stunning upset when you look at the numbers. They lose to the Lightning in 2022. Lightning were a better team. They beat the Lightning in 2023, even though, one of the few series where they've had home ice advantage even. But that was a team, that was a Lightning team that was a three-time defending conference champions. And then they go and they get their doors blown off by a Florida Panthers team that, you know, a lot of us now kind of realize was a bit of a sleeping giant in that season. And now it's happening against Boston. I mean, the only series that I think you could argue the Leafs were definitely the favorites is the one that I skipped, which is the Montreal series, right, for which there is no excuse for what happened in that series. There's no way past that. That was a disaster. That was the best opportunity this franchise may ever have to make a long playoff run, and they blew it, absolutely. But the rest of it, I mean, yeah, you would expect the coin to come up your side a few times, but I think it's possible that we're all sitting around going, what's wrong with the Leafs? What's wrong with their heads? What's wrong with their hearts? I don't know, man. Maybe they're just losing to a team that's a little bit better than them, just like the standings told us all year long.
Well, and it's funny that you bring this up, man, because like you said, the standings would suggest Boston was not just better, but significantly better. And when I've watched this series, I don't know if you agree or not, and maybe not based on the conclusion that you've come to, but this Bruins team looks infinitely beatable. Maybe just not by us, right? Like maybe that's sure. But I've looked at that Bruins team and went, like, you know, these centers aren't good enough. It's a good back end, and certainly the goaltending's better. But man, this doesn't seem like any sort of juggernaut, and the Leafs just can't get going against them.
Well, they can't. But I mean, this is, you know, who's going to beat the Bruins? You know, a Stanley Cup contender? Yeah, absolutely. The Leafs finished 10th this year.
Yeah,
they were the third best team in their own division. I mean, I'm sorry, you can't finish third year after year in your own division and then hold yourself up as some absolute elite Stanley Cup contender. You know, even if you want to, you know, even if you want to bring them up just to tear them down, right? Just so you can, you know, and I think that's some of it, because I was just on another show where, you know, we're saying, yeah, sure, yes, Leafs Nation overrates their team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. So does every fan base. Welcome to sports. This is how it goes.
Yep.
Does the giant Toronto media contingent sometimes pump the tires a little bit too much? Yeah, I don't doubt that. But I also think it's a lot of the outside doing it for that exact reason, right? You know, how often do you hear as a Leafs fan, all year long, you hear this team stinks, this team stinks, this team stinks from other fan bases. And then they lose in the playoffs, and those other fan bases go, oh my God, how did you guys lose?
Right.
It's like, well, you just told me the team stinks all year long. Right? Why are you surprised now? But of course, you have to, because then you get the, you know, that's how you get to play the whole choking dog narrative that everybody loves so much. I'm not saying it's either or. I'm not saying that if this team isn't as good as we think, that means that none of the other stuff can be an issue. It clearly is. I'm just saying that, you know, maybe this isn't actually the Montreal Canadiens of the 1970s that keep losing in the first round. Maybe this is just a good but not especially great and flawed roster that's actually getting the results that they deserve year in and year out.
You know, it's funny, and I'm curious what you think about this when you say that maybe this team and this roster just isn't overly well constructed. This has had a bunch of different forms, and there's only so many consistencies in it, right? We're back to, and sometimes I think it's unfair how much of the weight gets put on the core four, although when you get paid that kind of money, this is how this team is built. Those guys have to get it done. But there's, you know, we've seen a bunch of styles around them. We did the Kapanen, Andreas Janssen, you know, Jake Gardner run and gun Leafs early on, and then we turned that down and we tried to do like the Luke Shen, Ryan O'Reilly style things. We've, you know, there's nothing left from these early days other than, you know, Willie, Mitch, and Austin Matthews, and to a slightly less extent John Tavares, who came in 18-19. But is it, you know, if we're going to look at this and this team has never been quite as good as we thought they were, do we not have to start at just that group of four and the philosophy that went into how this team was going to be built?
Yeah, I think maybe you do. The idea that you could have four, not just four forwards, but four offensive forwards and it taking huge chunks of the cap. Yeah, I mean, that's been the debate in Toronto for years and years. And, you know, for a lot of years, I was on kind of the Kyle Dubas side of it.
Same, man.
Well, let's see. You know, there's but, you know, you talk about all the different versions of this team. I mean, yes and no. The reality is it has been the core four up front and then whatever other pieces would rotate in and out. You have had Morgan Rielly as your number one defenseman and then a collection of guys. Some good, some not so good, but you know, not to bang that drum of, well, you need a Norris contender because those guys aren't easy to find. But a lot of these teams do have that guy, and the Leafs never have been able to find him. And goaltending always as a second, third, fourth level consideration.
Yeah.
And they've made a lot of wrong calls on the goaltending, but other than maybe you could argue. When under Lou, when they went and got Freddie Anderson and gave him the big contract before he'd even played, they've never really prioritized it. It's always been sort of what can we afford to airlift in and just hope that it works. And I get that to an extent. Goaltending's the least predictable position in sports, you could argue. So maybe it doesn't make sense to invest there. And the flip side of it, and of course, is, hey, yeah, I mean, There are great goaltenders out there. They cost money. So do Norris guys. You don't have that cap space because of how you've allocated it, both in terms of the philosophy of we're going to build around this core and never even consider moving any of those pieces, as well as the philosophy of the Toronto Maple Leafs, for whatever reason, being the only team in the league where every star player squeezes every dollar they possibly can. And the team eventually gives it to them,
right.
Which, by the way, is something I think more players around the league should do.
Sure.
I'm not going to knock a player for getting paid fair value, and fair value is whatever your team will ultimately sign on to. But as a fan, it's damn frustrating to realize that it's only Leafs players who seem to do that. Everyone, like, we always hear Leafs players talk about how much they love it here, and they all love each other, and they're such a happy family. And it's the greatest place to play, and yet they don't take one penny less to stay here when everybody else around the league seems to do that. It's frustrating.
Until,
man,
they turn 37 and, or 38. And then.
Yeah. This is just how it's all gone in. I mean, we're all sitting there watching Zach Hyman light it up at Edmonton. You know, he's outscoring this entire Leafs team. Wouldn't it be great if we still had Zach? Well, you know what? If everybody had taken $1 million less, we'd still have Zach Hyman.
Yeah.
Maybe he wouldn't be scoring 50 goals, but we'd have the guy. I mean, that's the reality. It's consequences of decisions. And yeah, if I'm Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner, whoever, should I take $1 million less so that they can hand my money to somebody else when I'm the superstar? No, not necessarily. Until you see every other team's best players doing it.
Right.
Well, I mean, here we are. Maybe it was doomed from the beginning. Who knows? But it certainly does seem like the people who said it was a flawed plan from the start, they're maybe going to win that argument.
When you look at how this is put together right now and how this has gone, and when you're top heavy and you lose a piece of that, like, I don't know about you, man. We're of a similar vintage. I used to, and sometimes I still will, but I used to get, like, pretty emotional, pretty intense watching these games, really fired up, don't talk to me, leave me alone kind of thing. And as I've aged a little of that has gone away. And I watched some of this with a little more just acceptance. And sometimes I try to even think of it as I'm being rational, and other people may argue with whether or not I am. But I look at this series specifically and I go, yeah, this Boston team looks like somebody, a good team, could beat them. Well, Willie was out for three games, and Matthews clearly not been at his best. If you want to go back to the Montreal thing, Tavares went down, and you should have still been good enough, but that was a huge piece of, like, when you, I guess sticking with this one, is there reason to rationalize, or is it too late for that? Like, is it,
yeah, it's happened
too many times.
Yeah, it's too late. If this was the first series, then yes, you could absolutely say that. But if anything, this series only highlights how they've actually been extraordinarily healthy in the playoffs for most of the runs. The Tavares injury was a big one, and we probably don't talk enough about the impact of of that, not just as far as missing the player in that series, but just what the player, you know, what the players had to witness and, yeah. and how, you know, how horrific that whole scene was. But other than that, I mean, there have even been years where we've been looking at, you know, Matthews and going, oh man, he's just not, he doesn't have it in this series. He's probably hurt. It's probably the wrist again. We're going to find out on cleanout day. And then doesn't happen. It turns out everybody was healthy. I mean, this is kind of, yes, there's some bad luck involved. You know, I mean, Willie Nylander doesn't miss a game for 7 years and then suddenly gets migraines just in time for the playoffs. Austin Matthews has whatever this mystery illness is that is keeping him out. And, you know, he's not even practicing today. You know, who knows what's going on there. Mitch Marner, I know a lot of people have pointed out, hey, you had the high ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's not quite right yet. Sure, he's trying to play through it, which is what we say we want these guys to do. Sure. But when you build a team that is so top heavy, part of that is you are taking the risk that if any of those guys aren't available or if any combination of them aren't 100%, it's going to be tremendously going to have a tremendous impact,
right?
More so than it would on other teams. And yeah, it's the playoffs, man. Like, people get hurt. Sometimes that's what determines the series, is who gets hurt and who doesn't, who gets a bounce, who doesn't. There's a ton of luck involved. Some of the luck is breaking the wrong way for the Leafs as far as the injuries this year, but that hasn't happened in the past, and the results still been the same.
So, I mean, we can't predict. Look, the series is almost certainly over, and depending on who you read, it's 8% chance they come back, 12% chance they come back, something like that. Teams don't usually come back, and this team doesn't look like it's built to do it. Do you expect, though, based on what we've seen thus far, for them to at least put up a fight, maybe get it to 5 or 6, or based on what we saw Saturday, do you expect them to just sort of roll over and this to be over sooner than later?
The one thing I've said over the years is, you know, obviously I'm you can hear my frustration with the team, and a lot of that is me as a fan, not as an analyst type. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I've defended them is you hear a lot a take that I think is a lazy take when it comes to the Leafs, which is when the going gets tough, these guys fold. You know, that's usually what you say when you're attacking the character of a team mm-hmm. in sports. When the going gets tough, they quit. You look back at the history of this core. When the going gets tough, that's kind of when they're at their best, right? You know, when they lose to the Zamboni driver and everyone's laughing at it. Remember, then they went to Florida. They had that road trip, going yep. to play the best teams in the league, and they beat those teams. Mm-hmm. When they're down to Columbus, 3-0, elimination game, season's over, 4 minutes left, suddenly bang, 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 they score, and you know, they're right back in it. There's example after example, including that they years ago came back from down 3-1 against the Bruins yep. and fought their way back and forced a game 7.
Well, just last year against Tampa, there was that one big third period comeback, right? It was a 4-1 or
big
whatever
comeback. Yeah. Exactly. Everyone's, you know, saying and even in game 1 against Tampa, they come out yep. absolutely terrible in game 1. They lose 7-2 or whatever it is. And then they fire back and they win 3 in a row. So the problem with this team is not that they quit when the going gets tough. It's when the going is anything other, when the going is okay to good, they go off the gas pedal. They hang the big mission accomplished banner. They pat themselves on the back. They say, we've done a great job, or look at us. And then it all falls apart, right? They yeah. The big comeback against Columbus turns into they blow game 5. The great series against Tampa turns into they blow it against Florida, and on down the list.
Sure.
All of which is to say, I don't, you know, I certainly wouldn't wager a dime on them winning the series, but coming back and making, yeah, that would be a very, very on brand and on character for this group if suddenly they come
a little
game
bit,
five,
give us a little bit,
play
of optimism.
A great game, and suddenly we're all going, oh, wait a second, and then, you know, who knows, game 6, yeah, and then it all gets to a game 7, and by the time it would get to a game 7. They're all so proud of themselves that you know, that they won 2 games in a row that they probably lay an egg. Who knows? I mean, look, nobody on the planet thought the Florida Panthers were going to come back on this exact same Bruins team yep. A year ago. So it's not over. But if it is over, then it's really over for this group, because this has to finally, mercifully be the end of this vision for this team.
100%. Just quickly before I get you out of here, then, having written what you did, and like I said, we'll link to that in the show notes, that maybe this team just isn't as good as we thought they were, and they're not quite as good as the Bruins. It's very well written. It's put together far better than I'm summarizing it here. But having written that now, when you sit down for game five, do you feel a little more relaxed having come to terms with that, or will you still be tied to it?
I got to be honest with you, and I don't know if this is just me. I know I've heard from some fans who kind of indicated the same thing. I've never been less live and die with a playoff series. I don't think I'm just not there with this group. I've never in my sports fan life, hockey and otherwise, had a team so good that I liked so little.
Okay.
I don't know. I've kept waiting for that playoff vibe to, you know, to find me. And it's just not there with this group. And don't get me wrong. They come back, win this series, go on a run. I'll be right there. But for round one, I just can't. I can't with this group. I can't, I can't get into the regular season. 6 months, it doesn't matter. They're going to have their 100 or so points. And, you know, it's probably finish third like they always do and and go into the playoffs. And even this year, I just haven't been able to live and die with it. Check back with me if there's a game seven. But for now, I'm just sort of sitting there going, yeah, let's, you know what? If you're gonna lose again, do it quick for once. Don't waste everyone's time and let us move on to the demolition phase.
The last few years, I've felt like I had a soft landing. I've been looking forward to watching the Jays. This year, they don't seem like they're gonna have me any more excited. So
that too, yeah,
exactly. So hopefully they get it back to seven. Have you digging out your Borshevsky, your Bob Rouse jersey, or whatever you got kicking around? But I appreciate you doing it.
Everybody knows the jersey I got. It's the classic Craig Berube jersey from 1992, and ooh, that one could be coming in handy in a week or so, eh?
Fascinating how things come full circle.
Boy, you talk about long-term booking. That would be the hockey gods delivering a fun one for me.
Sean McIndoe from The Athletic, thank you for doing this, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right, there goes Sean McIndoe. Down goes Brown of The Athletic. That piece that he referenced is in The Athletic right now. It came out immediately after the game, Saturday night. Didn't waste any time getting down to it and putting his thoughts to paper, and it was nice of him to come in and spend a little time today. It's interesting there, his thoughts on whether or not it's too late to have any sort of time to consider whether or not the reason they went down this year is rational, is reasonable. And I tend to agree with them, but it's a bad place to be in. Like, you can get yourself to a place where you just go, you know what, Willie was not able to play for like half the series. Auston Matthews has apparently been quite under the weather. You know, maybe this just wasn't the year for it. You got Mitch Marner coming off the high ankle sprain. And even if all of those things are true and aren't just lame excuses, and maybe they are that. Like, that's up to you, good listener, whether or not you see those as excuses or real reasons to go, yeah, okay, well, you know, sometimes things just don't go your way. It almost doesn't matter. This has happened too many times. We've done the patience thing. And so even if this year it would be reasonable to go, you got to be careful not to blow things up just because you're frustrated, you know, sometimes it just doesn't go your way. Well, when you've done that since 2021, and arguably longer than that, right? Like, he took us through the series, the 2017 against Washington. You were just happy to be there. It was the first year of this good young group, and they played Washington tough, so, you know, so be it. 2018, 2019, those are sort of soft with Boston. You're still young, they're favored, everything's fine. They just don't go your way. 2020 is a weird year in the bubble. It's 2021 where you fall on your face against Montreal, and then the two, 2022 against Tampa, 2023 against Florida, and now 2024 here, where you've run out of time to be reasonable. And that's such a frustrating thing to say, right? Like, if everything has gone wrong this year and stacked the deck against you, you would normally just go, well, that's the way it goes. But you can't anymore. The fan base is frustrated. Clearly the players are frustrated. There's going to have to be change somewhere. This isn't working. And so it's an interesting dichotomy, I guess, and that it's one of those things that's tough to wrap your head around, is that sometimes you can't be rational. Sometimes you can't be reasonable. Because on the other side of it, it's also rational and reasonable to go, you've had enough time. this is Sheldon Keefe's, what, fifth year in the playoffs? This is the rest of the group, you know, 8 years with this young core. You've had enough time. It hasn't happened. Something else has got to be done. And so those things are pushing up against each other. And I agree with Sean on which way this one's going to go and which side's going to win out. And I think it makes sense this year, no matter how odd it sort of feels internally to go that way. So like I said, good of Sean to make some time for us. Always good to talk to him. He's, if you don't subscribe to The Athletic, he's one of those guys that makes it worthwhile. He's insightful, but also very witty, like very quick. A lot of the stuff he writes is a little off the wall or coming at it from a different perspective. He's a very enjoyable read. So he alone almost makes it worthwhile to subscribe to The Athletic. But we know a lot of people over there who have guested on the show who I think are worthwhile. Jonas Siegel's taken a bit of a rough ride from Leaf fans this year. I don't get that. I think he's pretty insightful, and it's turned out this year to be that he's pretty correct most of the time as well. James Myrtle, Ian Mendez is fantastic. He's a good friend of the show. He's been on a few times as well. We know lots of people over there at the Athletic, and so it's an easy recommendation to subscribe to that. That's where we're going to wrap this one up. We get the beginning of the answer here later on Tuesday night. Leafs and Bruins, it is game 5. Are the Leafs going to go out with a whimper, or is it like Sean said, that this group, for whatever reason, tends to respond okay when their back is against the wall, and so maybe they put up a good fight here. Maybe that doesn't necessarily mean they win, but maybe they do. Maybe they push it an extra game or two here, and we're, you know, get our hopes up a little bit. We'll see, but it's also possible that, you know, the cards are just on the table, the writing is on the wall, everyone knows where this is going, and they go down pretty easily here in Game 5 on Tuesday. And then we'll see how fast things start to move after that, should it play out that way. So we'll see. I will be back whenever that happens. A lot of people asking about it this year. It's a little upsetting that you people enjoy my misery so much. But the big Maple Leaf flag is out on the balcony right now. So at some point after the Leafs go down, there will have to be a flag lowering ceremony. I'm still holding out hope that's not this week, that it's a little further down the road than that. But that lays out ahead of us as well. And unfortunately, there are too many of you who enjoy that episode of the podcast. So we'll see where that lands here coming up as well. Like I said, Steve Lloyd here on Thursday morning. Looking forward to catching up with him. So stick around for that. We're on social media at TallCanAudio. And we'd love it if you'd subscribe to the podcast as well, wherever you're hearing me right now. For Sean McIndoe, my name is Matt Robinson. We'll see you next time. Yo, Tall Can Warriors, we're taking it down. Raise your voices, let's tear this town. We're the champions of craft beer and sport. Tall Can Audio, we hold down the fort. Tall Can Warriors, we're taking it down. Raise your voices, let's tear this town.